At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey guys, it's Gabby and Allison. We just wanted to take a moment to let you know that we recorded this episode before the murder of George Floyd and the BLM protests across the nation.
Oh yeah, so a lot of what we talk about in terms of stress with Dr. Sinha has to do with the stress of quarantine and the stress of COVID. However, as I was listening back to it, I was like, oh my God, there's so much more stress. I'm sure the like protesters and activists and everyone who gives a shit about Black Lives is very stressed out. Again, this is still going on, and I'm excited personally for the more mainstreaming push of defunding and abolishing the police. I think it's a really cool moment right now. Also, I want to say it's June 12th. They have not arrested the police that murdered Breonna Taylor. So that's forefront of my mind. I wish they would arrest them. And so we just wanted to give context of hopefully those of you who are protesting are also taking care of yourselves. In Los Angeles specifically, there is the People's Budget LA, which you can find at peoplesbudgetla.com. And we did an episode about it on Bad With Money, my other show. But it's basically a redirection of the funds that the mayor has allocated 50% of the city budget to the police, which is lunacy. So you can check that out as well. There's also, we'll put a bunch of links in the show notes to other places that you can donate and other things that you should read in terms of like if you have questions like, but what will we do without police or you know various other how do we call in and get justice for Breonna Taylor, you know just general questions that you may have right now.
And then we just wanted to acknowledge that all of the stuff with stress that we talk about with the doctor, you can still apply and that we hope that you're self-soothing and taking the time to recharge and take care of yourself and that we are 100% with BLM and hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, I hope these stress tips help any people out there that are protesting or just any Black people right now that are having obviously trauma responses to what's going on. So, you know, hopefully it applies and is slightly helpful. But again, reiterating, Black Lives Matter. We are on your side and we're going to put a bunch of links in the show notes for everybody that will hopefully also be helpful. Okay, enjoy the show. Just between us. Hey. Just between us. Hey.
I'm a writer, director, and feminist.
Oh, hey, I'm Gabby Dunn. I'm a writer, bicon, bisexual icon, wink, and, you know, getting really into showering.
Tell me more.
Well, I didn't relate to the people that were like, oh, we're in quarantine and we're not showering every day, because I feel like that was, like, giving me something to do. But then the last few days, couldn't bring myself to do it. But then I just did it. But, like, I understand now the people that couldn't bring themselves to do it. That was never part of my depression. Like, I have depression, but it was never like the no showering kind of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've reached, I get it.
But you just said that you love showering.
I know. But like when the last like 5 days, I like didn't feel well. And I was like, no, I don't even deserve to shower. But then I got out of it today. But I've never been when you're depressed, do you not want to shower?
A lot of times I don't want to shower and then I have to make myself. But lately I've been doing this thing where when I need to think about something, like I don't know how to describe myself on this podcast or what to title chapters in a book, I go, well, I'll just think about that when I'm in the shower.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like schedule thoughts for the shower.
I do that to go to bed. Like I'll do thoughts while I'm sleeping, I'll think of things.
But do you plan to think of it then?
Yeah, I'll be like, okay, well, I'm not going to come up with a good answer for what needs to happen next in this script. But when I'm about to fall asleep is when it'll hit me. Then I go through the thing where I go, ooh, do I get up and write that down, or do I chance remembering it in the morning? It's a 50-50.
I recommend switching to the shower thoughts.
Okay, I'll do that.
This is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice,
ridiculous games,
and brutal honesty. I'm sorry you've been having a tough time.
Yeah, I can't sleep, which we've talked about, I think, 100 times on this show.
So then you feel bad the whole day?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Have you tried reading before bed like we talked about?
Yeah, a little bit. But my eyes are they want to play video games.
And that's the problem.
It's not me, Allison. My eyes want to play video games.
Okay. We've got a great episode for you guys this week.
We're going to be talking to Dr. Rahita Sinha, director of the Yale Stress Center. Wow, relevant.
And later, we'll be discussing loneliness.
Oh, wow. You know what? If you come to this show to escape, let me tell you, we won't allow it.
We're just trying to be relatable.
Okay.
But first, hit it! International question! International question! International question! Lindsay, Arizona.
I love Arizona.
Lindsay says, how do I stop fixating on someone I know doesn't like me and give other people a chance? I was talking to this girl for about a month back in August. We went on a few dates and she really led me on. One night she drove me around for hours after dinner and said she wanted to take me out again, but she never texted me back. I feel so dumb because I still think about her a lot, but I probably don't even really like her, just the idea of her. I don't know what my problem is because I usually never like people. I was picky before, but now it's even worse. Now I'm the person ghosting people. I'm a lesbian, so I really can't afford to be doing this. I feel like I've pissed off every gay girl at my school. I also just feel really stupid. It's been so long. It wasn't even a thing. What is my problem?
Well, that's interesting that you don't understand why you were ghosted when you've become the ghoster.
Ah, the ghosted becomes the ghostee.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, you don't know what's going on for someone else. You really don't. Like, you don't know what was going on for her. It could have been literally anything. Like, it doesn't have to do with you. It's not like this person rejected you. Because I think sometimes we fixate on the people who have rejected us. Because we're like, why did you reject me? What is it about me you did not like? Well, now that you rejected me, I want you even more. And it, like, oftentimes had nothing to do with you. Like, you're like, I'm sure the people that you're ghosting are like, what did I do? And like, could not even begin to guess. Like, in their top five guesses would not be what you're telling us right now.
I wonder if it's a self-esteem issue, subconsciously, where you think that you're not good enough for this girl, but then every person who likes you isn't good enough for you.
Yes.
You know, where yes. Anyone worthwhile wouldn't want to be with you.
Yes. That is very relatable. That thing where anyone who likes you like more than they like you is good. And mm-hmm. anyone who likes you more than you like them is like, what's wrong with them? That's pathetic. Why do they like me so much? I'm garbage.
Even if even if they like you at all, like just a normal amount the way you would like somebody starting out, you're like, yeah. Oh, I don't want to be part of any club that would have me as a member.
Yeah. And it's easier to fixate on this thing that's never going to happen and never did happen and romanticize it than it is to like actually deal with the complexities and ups and downs of a real relationship. Where like if you romanticize someone that you were never with or could never get, then you never have to deal with their side of the conversation. You never have to deal with their quirks. You never have to deal with them wanting to fight. You never have to deal with anything. Whereas like if you're in an actual relationship, you love the person and like you have like the obviously like, you know, hopefully the huge romantic starting out feelings and stuff. And but like on the day to day, sometimes they're going to annoy you. And the person that you never have to spend time with, you could just fantasize about. You're like, oh, they never annoy me. They're wonderful. They're perfect. But it's like, if you were actually dating them, they would have to be a real person to you. And that's scary.
And maybe with this one girl, you got to have this like amazing time with her on your first date with her.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you'll have an amazing time with someone else on your fourth date with them. You know, so you have to give it time. Just because you don't initially have that rush the way you had with that other girl doesn't mean you won't eventually have that rush with someone else. It might just take a little bit more time.
My partner said something really interesting to me, which was that they were like, oh, how come I didn't have, like, when I first met you, I didn't have like that rush of like having a crush on you, which I had towards them. And they were like, I realized that whenever I liked someone and I had that rush right away, it wasn't romance or love. It was anxiety. It was that when I had an amazing first date with someone because they were chaotic and horrible and all these, or just that they were so over the top or whatever. Mal was like, what I was feeling was anxiety, or I have to keep chasing this. I have to keep this feeling going. It's a high. I have to keep chasing this. And they had to realize that that wasn't actually indicative of a positive romantic relationship or love, or oh my God, this person is perfect. What it meant was you have the feeling that they are unattainable. And so to that, you want to chase that more and more versus it was very sweet. They were the longevity of our relationship having gone a year, Mal was like, oh, this is what love is. They had no concept of it because they didn't have any concept of it without anxiety attached.
I also think that it might be an aspect of your age where I think when you're younger, the idea of winning and of getting somebody and convincing them to be with you is so exciting. And there's this addictiveness to someone giving you attention, taking it away, giving attention, taking it away. Mm-hmm. But when you get older, I found that when someone didn't like me, that was a turnoff for me.
Exactly.
Something switched where I suddenly was oh, this guy doesn't like me or prioritize me. Gross.
Yes, absolutely. Where you're if you don't, it's confidence. If you don't think I'm amazing, then you suck.
Exactly. And it's also the confidence of this person recognizes that I'm amazing. Therefore, they're cool.
Yes.
Not, they have bad taste. It's they're smart. They see something in me. And so that's the way you kind of have to start to think about it. You're probably awesome. So if somebody likes you, that means that they have good taste. And so you should give them a chance.
And also, I don't think that this girl is the problem. You being picky or you feeling like you're not connecting with people, I don't know why you're maybe blaming this girl or seeing it as something that happened with this girl is your way of not actually confronting your own issue or what's going on with you by putting it onto someone else. There's something going on with you where you're going on these dates and you're not feeling fulfilled.
There's also very much a chance that you just haven't met someone who's worth dating. Somebody
it's
that
not
you
about
click
this
with.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you're young. You're in college. As if you're saying that you've already made your way through all of the queer women in your school, there's probably not that many.
Also, to be fair, you're having a very realistic queer experience, which is you'd kind of just date all the queers and then figure out which one is for you. And it's a lot of trial and error. There's people that I've been oh, maybe we're attracted to each other. Oh, we're not. Okay. It's a very relatable thing to sort of have a moment with almost everyone and then be no. And maintain the community and friendship. So it is this weird thing where it's a game of trying to put puzzle pieces together. Cause the community, let's say, is 30 people and everyone's just trying to figure out where they Tetris-y fit in with each other.
But you have to think about it in the way of a reality show, let's say Bachelor in Paradise.
It almost is.
but what are the real chances that of 20 people, someone that's right for you is going to be there?
Exactly.
You know, exactly. You're going to have to meet so many more people. You're going to have to widen your world so much. If you're picky because you haven't found a girlfriend out of 30 people, that's not picky.
Right. Exactly.
I think reframe that in your mind instead of, because I think if you attach yourself to the idea that you are picky, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But if instead you're I just haven't met the right person yet, I need to keep exploring and I'm going to meet more and more people the older I get, then you're going to be more open to things.
I don't understand the use of the negative connotation of picky for someone dating. Like, people always say that, oh, you're too picky, or like, oh, I'm just really picky. But like, what? You just want to like the person you're with? Like, what are you saying when you say that you're picky? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's
valid pickiness, and then there's shallow pickiness.
But if someone's shallow, Godspeed. Let them be shallow. Like, I don't know. It's not like if two vain people find each other, I love that for you. Like, I don't know. I'm not particularly picky, which sounds bad, but I think I've gotten pickier over the years. It's funny because I really, like, after my ex-girlfriend last year, I was like, I'm never going to date again. And I fixated on Mal and was like, if Mal doesn't want to date me, then I'm going to never date again, which is insane. And luckily, Mal wanted to date me. But I think about, like, what if Mal was like, no, thank you. What would I have done?
You would have, like, moped for another month or two and then started dating someone else.
Some terrible man, probably.
I don't know about that.
Lindsay, you're gonna be fine. Your person maybe just isn't in your direct circle right now, and that's fine.
And also, it's a benefit when someone likes you. It's not a flaw of their character.
Yes.
So try to remember that.
And stop ghosting people. Write back and say, if you don't like someone, be like, sorry, it's not working out. You have to at least say why. And it sucks, like, and it's weird, but you have to.
You having had your heart hurt doesn't mean that you get to hurt other people.
Absolutely. Why? And why did this girl do that to you? You don't know her history. Maybe she was dealing with an ex. Like, you just gotta be like, hey, I'm not feeling it. At least that. Otherwise, because the queer community is small and we will find out.
But not that small. Eventually you will find someone, we promise.
But we will all know if you're a ghoster.
Yeah, so don't be a ghoster. Because
all of us.
Anyone worth dating wouldn't want to date a ghoster.
Truly.
Hopefully that helped. If you want to submit your international question and get yelled at, send it to justbetweenuspod@gmail.com. That's justbetweenuspod@gmail.com.
We've got a juicy interview coming up next with our highly esteemed guest, Dr. Sinha. Stay tuned. Just Between Us.
Hi everyone, Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, where did you come from? And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her mylifeinabook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with mylifeinabook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, controversial segment known to all of podcasting, Tough Questions.
This week on the show, we have Dr. Rajita Sinha, who's the director of the Yale Stress Center. Hello, welcome to Just Between Us.
Hi, thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So I didn't even know there was such a thing as a stress center, but it feels like it's good those exist.
Yes, and especially at this time, but even generally, there's a lot of stress out there in the world, and we do a lot of research and help with prevention and information, and there's a lot of interest in this topic.
Can you talk a little bit about what stress does to your body when unchecked?
Sure. So we have a biological system in our bodies, all animals that have that, which is to really deal with the environment and deal with any challenge that is coming up for us in the world around us day to day. As I said, all animals have that. And it's actually a good thing. You might think that being really stressed out is not helpful, but it's a good thing in the sense that it keeps us thriving in the world, helps us figure out how to respond to challenges, how to save ourselves in bad situations, responding quickly, thinking through things. And to do that, the body has to mobilize for action. And in that mobilization, there's a biological response. So when you find your heart beats faster, or you start to tense up, or your stomach clenches, all of those things are part of a body's response to stress, telling us, signaling to us that something is not okay. And of course, the mind gets going as well. And so you start to have thoughts about, what am I going to do? This doesn't seem right. There are some things in the environment or around you that are looking difficult or suspicious. You might have feelings of fear or anxiety, or panic or anger that may come up. And then you start to have an urge to run or save yourself or scream for help. You start to go ahead and act. So we respond in these different domains, you know, in our thoughts, through our thoughts, through our feelings, through the sensations in our bodies, and through our actions to respond to stress.
Some people deal with stress like they have physical reactions to it. I'm one of those people where I can sort of try to mentally ignore it, but eventually, like, I'll start to have stomach aches or hair will start to fall out. Can you explain, like, the connection between, like, the mental and then how it manifests, like, in your body physically, even if you're like, no, I'm not stressed out?
Yeah, sure. So when I gave the general description of stress, that was much more of something acute that was happening to us. By acute, I mean something that just comes up suddenly in the moment, or you know it's going to come up, and it's time limited. And that's the kind of stress that actually is important for us in terms of mobilizing for action and for learning from it. The kind of stress that you're talking about that we feel in our bodies, sometimes we try to ignore it and not deal with it mentally, but then it gets expressed in our body. Very often, that kind of stress is really one where what we call chronic stress, or it's relentless. It keeps on going. There's also usually an uncontrollability or unpredictability, uncertainty about it. And those features make it much more increased in intensity because, you can't take care of it. You can't figure out what to do about it so easily. And then avoidance or just distracting yourself is one of the ways that people may cope with it. But your body may still be worried. Your body may still be reacting to it in an ongoing way. And so over time, you might start to have physical symptoms, whether you think it's if you're someone where your hair starts to fall out, for somebody else, they might have, exacerbation of some skin symptoms. For someone else, it may be their chronic pain comes back. Others find that they have sleep disturbances. So these are all expressions that can happen as a function of ongoing stress. And one of the things we are facing right now is what I call uncontrollable stress, because we really don't have control over the situation right now with the COVID virus. And who will get it, how we will respond if we get it, all of those kinds of things may be worries and fears that are natural at this time. But it's also relentless and kind of chronic. And so it's a situation that really lends itself to the kind of thing you're talking about, which is, these symptoms may come up.
What advice do you have to combat this stress that everyone is under right now during quarantine?
So that is a really good question. There are lots of different ways that people are coping with stress, and lots of different ways to think about how best to cope. Now, coping with any kind of stress is very individual. We are all different in the ways that we are wired to cope or habituated to cope, things that we like to do when we are stressed out, just like you described yourself. You try to avoid it, and then you know other things may happen in your body to signal that your body is still stressed. Some of the things that could help that are more straightforward that I think people are talking about are things like building a routine for yourself during the day, maintaining. So these are the relatively more straightforward things: maintaining a healthy lifestyle, so being able to go out, getting some fresh air, getting exercise, eating healthy, drinking plenty of water and fluids, making sure you follow a sleep routine so that your sleep hygiene is good. And also around quarantining or social distancing, the really important piece is keeping up with your social network, with your family and friends, obviously remotely because of social distancing, but that's really important. Humans are social animals. We really want to stay connected with people and with our loved ones or with friends. And so it's really important to still stay connected. For those who are feeling more alone or feel like they're alone around at this time, because loneliness is a big thing at this time when you don't have work or you don't have the ability to go outside, to interact with others, it's important to lean in and reach into other web-based events and things that are happening that are helping people think about how they can contribute. So staying connected with your social network and with the community is really important as well.
How come some people have such severe reactions to stress and other people don't? Is it like childhood? Is it something to do with like genetics?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So because we have a very robust stress biology so that we can respond to stressors, both in the environment with our behaviors, but so that our bodies can respond to stress too, like the immune system has to respond so that we can fight illness and infection, and lots of other physiological things go on for which the stress biology is important. And I mention that because you're absolutely right. The genes are really playing a role in terms of contributing to the individual differences, meaning how each of us are different in the way that we respond to stress, as well as how we feel it. So the reaction and the response are both influenced by our genes. But more importantly, in stress research, what has been found is that these genes are learning based on our environment. So based on how we grow up, the kinds of experiences we have, the kinds of responses we may have in our bodies as well as to our minds and behaviors, the genes, by learning, I mean they tend to get shaped by, in terms of turning on and off, what we call epigenetics. So how they how these genes respond is almost trained by our experiences and our environment.
What is some of the most interesting findings you've found during your research at the center about stress?
So some of the findings that we have to do with some questions you're asking, which is, why are some people more reactive versus others? One thing we have found is that your history of stressful experiences does have a pretty significant impact on how we respond as both as children and as adults. So a lot of negative life events or traumatic experiences can influence how our brains respond to stress. What we found is that we can be more sensitive to stress as a function of our trauma history and as a function of the cumulative life events that we've had. So the negative effects of multiple stressors and traumas are that it actually impacts our brains. It changes the amount of cell power, the brain cell power we may have to respond to stresses. And that is really important. The other piece, the other side of that is that there is also things that we tend to do when we get stressed out, coping behaviors. And what we have found is that some people are more vulnerable to certain kinds of coping, whether you become somebody that is a avid exerciser, or someone who drinks and can drink alcohol and consume a lot more, maybe go on binges, taking other drugs, or some thoughts about what kinds of other behaviors that people may engage in, like gambling and those kinds of things. We've done some work on stress-related eating and emotional eating, and who is most susceptible to that, and what kind of weight-related changes that may influence stress eating. What we found is that those who have higher weights may, in fact, be more susceptible to stress-related eating than people who are much more lean. Stress has an effect in exacerbating people's physiologic symptoms, like you were saying about hair falling out. But this is also true for those who have chronic pain or an acute liver disease. Other kinds of GI illnesses are exacerbated by stress. And then the work, other work we are doing has to do with, well, what can curb this? Can the brain's changes, these nerve cell, brain cell power, can that actually come back if we notice our stressors and we begin to do things that are stress buffering, like mindfulness training, for example, or yoga classes or therapy? Does that, or even some certain types of medications, does that actually help us become better copers? Does it reverse the effects of the negative effects of stress? And what we found is that, in fact, it does. The brain is very dynamic. And this is where there's very new, exciting research in neuroscience, that the brain is dynamic and flexible. And just as it takes in the negative effects of stress, the positive things that we can do in life and the therapeutic things can actually help turn that around, particularly if it doesn't get really chronically set in. in the sense that it doesn't, it hasn't gone on for years and years, and it stress doesn't get embodied within us, so to speak. And so we found that, in fact, you can turn things around. And that's very exciting because, as you know, and as we are seeing, there's just a lot of stress and trauma in the world today.
I think it's so encouraging that you can kind of redo your body's response to stress, because I remember learning about how, right, like if you have a lot of stress early in life, your body is then like so worn down by it that like the smallest stressor will like ignite a full response. But you're saying that you can kind of rewire yourself through these mindfulness techniques and therapy and things like and coping mechanisms so that your body will not respond like that in the future.
That's exactly right. And that's the research that is new and still developing. But it's very, all the early studies and indications are that, in fact, there are these changes that can happen as a function of these interventions. How long they last and whether they're sustainable is really important. But if we just think about lifestyle changes, if you do make a lifestyle change, as you continue with it and continue to practice it, we all can feel the effects of that. And then if a big major stressor, uncontrollable one comes through, you know, for example, if you lose somebody who's very close to you or a loved one, that can really throw us for a loop. And one of the first things that goes is that the practices we set up, the positive things that you're doing in your life sometimes go out the window because stress has just come back in its full force, that uncontrollability. And so for some time, then you're hit by that. And it really takes conscious effort to go back to saying, wait a second, when I had that positive routine, when I had those other things built in, I was doing better, and to go back to that. And I think those are all indications that, in fact, our body is flexible and it gets hit, but then you can come out of it as well.
If we reduced like all the stress and like the idea is that nobody would be unnecessarily stressed ever again, and like a reduction of stress would, how would that affect, you know, the world, or what would be the benefit of that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think about that quite a bit because a lot of times in thinking about recommendations, people will say to me, well, we all just need to be calm. If we could get rid of all of this, we all need to be relaxed and just completely calm. And, you know, a lot of us are not like that. We like to be pumped up and aroused. We like to be really, you know, thinking fast or being energetic and feeling the stress. So my advice is often that it's not that you want to get rid of all of the stress and be completely calm all the time, because then, in fact, we need the same stress system to help us learn and mobilize and grow and develop our minds and our reactions. And so what we want is really mild to moderate levels of stress that are controllable. So we get challenged and we can learn from that challenge, and we can learn solutions. We can interact with each other and come up with new ideas, and that's stimulating and energizing, and all of those kinds of contexts are very important for brain growth and brain recharging. So it's a little bit more nuanced than just getting rid of all the stress and everybody being as calm as possible all the time.
Can you speak a little bit about people's allostatic load, if I'm saying that correctly, and how it might be a lot heavier now during the pandemic than normal?
Yes, sure. So allostatic load is a term that ties very close to the stress biology that we have that I'm talking about. And it is based on the idea that we function the stress response through our physiology, through the heart rate activation, through our blood pressure, through various other chemicals and proteins in our body, are really set up to function within a set point, within a range. And what happens is that while we are set up to be in that range, it can go out of range slowly over time. For example, with aging, our blood pressures naturally go up, tend to go up. And that is really the idea that this load of living and taking care of the stressors of one's life and the aging process of losing some cells, and it leads to adaptation. We are adapting every day from the day we are born. And that adaptation is what is called allostatic load. So we are, our bodies adapt to a new set point or to a different level as we go through. So allostatic load in and of itself is not bad because it really highlights the adaptive quality of all of our biological systems. But embodied within that is the notion that it will also be an indicator of the stressors and traumas and uncontrollable life events that have gone on and push these physiological functions out of, you know, into ranges that could be detrimental to us.
And that I feel like is happening right now, right, where people are dealing with this uncertainty, and uncertainty is such a trigger for anxiety, which increases your stress. And so even though someone's day-to-day might just be getting up, getting breakfast, doing some work, going to sleep, their allostatic load is much higher, and so they feel so exhausted.
Exactly. I think you said it very, very well. In fact, I like to think of it as a system that needs to sometimes shut down to recuperate and to rejuvenate. And we do that through sleep. We also do that through some calming events and relaxation. And if you think about it, even though we are at home, exactly as you said, we are still worrying and afraid perhaps, or anxious about what's going on in the world, or when are we going to go back to things. And so if you think of a machine, it's like the machine is always on. Even though we try to calm ourselves, it's always on. And so the motor keeps going, and it might need to rev up and slowly start to rev up just to take that load, allostatic load metaphor a little bit further. And it just stays revved up and goes, gets more and more revved up over time. So even our basal state, what we call tonic state, is much higher than sort of our relaxed baseline in non-COVID time period.
So people shouldn't feel like it's weird that even though they're not necessarily doing that much or being that active, their body feels exhausted because that stress is wearing them out.
That's exactly right. There is that additional layer of being turned on, being vigilant, being attentive to what is going on around us, seeking out information, maybe even being overwhelmed by information. And so that's why one of the things that you will find mental health experts and all of us talking about is to actually curb the amount of information that you take in or you seek out. Maybe define specific time periods during the day that you would go into your favorite sites and look up the information on COVID, the updated information, and then shut it off. And then go about your day, build in time to actually do some stress busting things, whether it's exercise or yoga, mindfulness. Accepting that we are, in fact, in this stressful period will help calm down the stress response.
So there is hope.
That's right.
Yeah. And, even if our stress levels are kind of through the roof right now, like you said before, once this is over or once we form healthier habits, we can get our bodies back on track to not overreacting as much.
That's exactly right. And, we've talked a lot about stress biology. We have in our brains a actual specific pathway. This is one of the findings and research findings that we've had that is very cool, is that we have a separate specific resilient coping pathway in the brain that we've identified, which has to do with our behavioral choices. And so that is related to learning. It's related to positive activities. It's related to how we can get ourselves out of jams. And so that if we can help preserve that, that's going to be our sort of currency, money in the bank, so to speak. That system will gear in, go into high gear as soon as the stress starts to dissipate, and will help us sort of go back to normal, help us sort of come back in a rejuvenated, more positive way. Now, obviously, that system also takes a big hit based on people's vulnerabilities and those who have other kinds of comorbidities. But nonetheless, in a healthy individual, this system is very alive and well, and that is our good currency in thinking about stress busting.
Before we move on to the game show portion of this, I remember when I was learning about stress and the effects it has on the body, I got to this point of like being stressed about being stressed, you know, because you know that it's so bad for you that you're then worried about being stressed. So how do you help combat that?
That's a great question. You know, this is why I like to talk about the positive aspects of stress. I think we tend to think about, it's all bad. And just get rid of all the stress and de-stress and be all calm and everything will go away. And that's actually not true. You'll be bored. We'll start to think about other things to do that may not be as healthy for us. And so I think we have to just let stress be, and I like to say embrace it, actually, because the stress, when it comes on, it is telling you something. Even when your hair is falling out or your stomach is cramping or you find tension in your body, it's telling us something. Those are the signs and symptoms of stress that the body is giving to us. And really is behooves us to pay attention to that and say, oh, I need to do something about this. This is my indicator that it's beyond the day-to-day stress. I need to do something and come back to a different baseline.
Yeah, and then once you do the thing, you then have to let the stress go. I think
exactly.
That's the problem is a lot of times.
Yeah.
We still feel it even when we've accomplished the goal.
That's true.
Well, Gabby, hopefully your hair will fall out less after this conversation.
You know, I really hope so, but I have a lot of hair, so I feel okay about it. But I do like the idea, like, it's the reason why you feel pain, because, you know, take your hand off the stove. It's similar.
Exactly.
Like, if you're feeling stress, it's telling you something.
Absolutely. That's a very good point you make about the pain. Right from when we're born, we have these systems in place to tell us something is not okay. If you take a bite into something that looked weird and it just tasted bad, you're going to spit it out immediately before you think about, hey, what was that? Or maybe it was supposed to be good for me. All those come later. You've already spit it out.
Yeah, keeps you safe. Stress response keeps you safe. Although I am curious, like, if you think after the pandemic, if there will be an increase in PTSD, if people will have post-traumatic stress disorder just from such a global, like, crisis.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. I think people who are vulnerable, may face some of those symptoms coming back, some of those trauma-related symptoms coming back. If you're facing the stress of COVID very acutely, for example, if you're one of the healthcare professional workers who are going into the hospital every day in an ICU unit, seeing people dying or having to make decisions about ventilators and all of that, those are very traumatic events. So there's a lot of variation right now in what people are being exposed to, what aspect of the coronavirus related stress and anxiety. And so it's absolutely possible. In fact, after any kind of pandemics or disasters, there's an increase in mental health symptoms. And so we are all preparing for that and certainly talking about it so that people can take precautions and start to do the things that are helpful for them.
Well, thank you for doing all of this work. I know it is so important and helpful to so many people. Just like my game hypotheticals.
I love that there is a stress center, and I think people should know and take it seriously and not feel like, oh, I'm just stressed. Like, really, it has a neurological and a physical effect on you. So thank you for your work.
And now, would you like to play a game show?
Okay. I was very curious about this game show.
So Hypotheticals is a game show where you and Gabby are my contestants. I'm going to give you a series of hypothetical situations. You can ask as many questions as you want, and then you would tell me what you would do in those hypothetical situations, and then I just decide whether or not I like your answer completely arbitrarily.
Oh, okay.
So this is very low stakes. There's no reason to feel stressed.
I'm already a little stressed.
That's just your excitement to play.
Oh, my God.
So our first game is America's favorite game show, Would You Stay With This Cheater? You find out that whenever your partner of 7 years gets super stressed, they go to a bar and make out with a stranger. Apparently, it's the only thing that eases their anxiety, and they have been doing it since way before they met you. The makeout only lasts 10 minutes tops. Would you stay with this cheater?
Is that how you guys met?
No.
Okay. And I'm supposed to ask questions. Ask Gabby questions about it?
No, you can ask. Well, I don't know. You can ask Allison questions about it. I have no idea. I'm also a contestant.
Oh, okay. Okay. So my first question is, how often does this happen?
Great question.
Well, they're a heart surgeon, so about once a week.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And it's have you noticed it before? Or is it now 7 years later and you're just figuring this out?
You just found out.
Why didn't they tell you?
They were embarrassed.
I'm going to say I have to go. I have to go.
They're a heart surgeon,
Gabby. I don't
care.
They were lying to me and I have to go. Also, now in this pandemic, they probably bring in coronavirus to the house. So I don't want it. Dr. Sinha, your thoughts?
Well, I would start to talk to the person about it, about what's going on. And how come this has gone on for so long? I'd give them a chance to talk about it. It sounds like it's a habit and it's a trap for the person to feel like this is the only way they can relieve their stress. Because in fact, we have a very robust system of thinking about options. And so how much does this relationship with me matter to this person? If that's the way they want to do it, then yes, I would leave too, but I would give them a chance to think about it and to start to make some changes, or if they are willing and interested in engaging in a different way of tackling their stress, and then also respecting me as a person. So that beginning to understand what when you do something like that, how it hurts your partner, how it hurts the other person.
That is a great answer. The correct answer is that you come up with an agreement that every time they get stressed, you put a wig on and pretend to be a stranger in a bar.
I love that. I love
that. Oh, my God.
That's called compromise, everybody.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay, our next game is called Are You a Terrible Parent? Your 10-year-old child has horrible temper tantrums. You decide that whenever they have a temper tantrum, you will act as though they have become invisible and you can't find them anywhere. You pretend that you start to freak out and cry, looking everywhere for them. You can only see them again when they stop having a temper tantrum. This gets them to stop throwing temper tantrums, but it also leads them to stop speaking for 3 months out of fear that they will turn invisible. Are you a terrible parent?
No, I don't think you're a terrible parent. But I didn't catch the last one. They get to do what? They stop speaking?
Yeah, they don't speak for 3 months because they're worried if they speak, then they'll become invisible.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
But they still have a lot of fun during those 3 months when they're not
talking.
Do
they?
Can you imagine the nice peace and quiet for the parents that the 10-year-old is not speaking?
I'd
take that any day.
Well, we found out who's a mom, didn't we?
I love how reasonable your first answer was and how the second question, you're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I thought actually that your initial solution that you gave of the parent was really good, that they made it into a game and the person being invisible is such a great way to handle. It's a very behavioral way to handle the situation. And it's cool.
Thank you. I'm going to tell my sister about it.
My
Maybe
God.
It'll help her out.
Oh, my God.
She's stuck with two kids right now. Wow.
Right. A tough time for parents. You know, that is a very, very good point about letting your sister and really other parents know, too, because my heart goes out to them. It's very challenging.
Maybe I just solved it, though, for everybody.
Well, good. I'm glad it's on this podcast so people will hear it and know.
Absolutely.
Okay. Our final game. Would you lie or tell the truth? You find out through a premonition that there will never be a successful vaccine for COVID-19. You know that sharing this information will cause mass chaos. Unfortunately for you, a local news station is asking random people when they think a vaccine will happen. They decide to interview you. Would you lie or tell the truth?
Explain premonition to me.
You're a psychic.
But did I ask to know that? Like I, as a psychic, it's just like I find, it's just like, that's so Raven.
You had a dream about it, but you know you're a psychic, so you know that's a premonition.
Wow.
I don't know. I would talk to a scientist. I mean, has a scientist confirmed that there's never going to be a vaccine? I don't know. It would be hard to just go by a premonition. Right?
But you have had premonitions your entire life and they've always been correct.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, Dr. Sinha, what would you do?
Well, I would tell the truth and I would say that we're not near a vaccine right now. It's not in the near future, but there are other treatments. Vaccine is not the only solution. There are other treatments. We have a new treatment coming out that is getting approved now experimentally, and there may be ways to treat it. I mean, right now, when you get certain types of infections, you take medicines for them. So there hopefully would be a medicine that, in fact, people are working on to treat it.
Well, that's why she's a doctor, and I'm also a doctor. Thank you so much.
No half. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find out more about your work in the center?
On our website, yalestresscenter.org, has a lot of our papers, our findings, the things we're doing during COVID. Other kinds of resources are available there as well. Really, just Googling Yale Stress will get you there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Stick around after the break. We'll be talking all about loneliness. Just to stress you out. Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for topics.
XXXXXX, baby.
Baby.
Sometimes we go high, sometimes we go low on the baby. You'll never know.
Anyway. This week, I thought, let's discuss loneliness, because I think for a lot of people, it's more relevant than ever. And mm-hmm. sort of how I just kind of like want to do one of our friendly reminders that this feeling that you might be having will not last forever.
I think people who originally felt lonely, either they feel like it's exacerbated or they feel like this is my time, like my time to shine. And then for people that are more extroverted or more social, this is like a blow. Like mm-hmm. they're really struggling because they're so used to having people around. And if they live alone, I can see how that would be like really hard to just all of a sudden be alone with your thoughts, which I get it. I don't want to be alone with my thoughts ever. That's why you got to listen to a podcast so you don't have to.
How are you dealing with living alone?
Well, I have a beautiful dog mm-hmm. Who I've just put all of my human traits on. And I've already had a very codependent relationship with, but it's really gone too far. And
in what way?
I just talk to him out loud and like he always slept in the bed with me, but like, it's like, I'm like, how are we doing, honey? Are we doing okay? What's going on? Like full conversations. You always
yeah,
do that
like,
with
I've
sugar.
I've been doing that for years. I don't see the problem. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. I've gotten weirdly like closer to my neighbors via email. Like, we're all on an email chain now, and, like, one of them left me a chocolate cake, which was very nice. We're sharing, you know, like, the house next door is throwing parties, and we hate them. And so, like, we've all come together to hate the house next door. It's really been a lovely bonding experience for me and my neighbors via email.
I think that speaks to a good point that, like, you might find some comfort and support from people you might not expect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like maybe suddenly like your Twitter friends are playing a bigger role in your social network, or mm-hmm. you end up calling your mom more than you normally do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're feeling really lonely right now, it can be good to break out of your normal patterns mm-hmm. and realize that you're going to have to do things a little differently.
Yeah, people are, you know, playing games on Zoom. People are doing Animal Crossing. I've gotten a lot of people together because I'm doing these queer live reads. And it's been fun because, like, friends of mine who don't know each other, like, now are working together. And they're, like, getting to know each other and becoming friends. And, like, if this hadn't happened, I don't know that I would have ever felt comfortable, because I always kind of feel like I'm bothering people. So I don't know if I would have felt comfortable like reaching out and like connecting all these people and having all these people like come together on something. But now I'm like, well, I'm not bothering anyone. It's weird because I'm a very solitary person and I do always feel that I'm bothering people. And now in my mind that everyone's solitary, I'm like, well, how much could I be bothering you? So it's actually been nice for me in terms of like feeling as though I can talk to people more often.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point that like no one is too busy to hear from you right now.
Yeah, which I guess I kind of always assume. And like it is. It sucks. It sucks that I'm not with my partner. It sucks that I'm just kind of like by myself every day. I did prepare for this by spending every day alone in high school, but it's bad because the loneliness makes you fall back on sort of bad habits too. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely staring at screens all the time, which I did in high school, or not eating right, or like it's definitely opened doors for like, oh, well, no one's here to check me. So like Cheyenne, my sister is isolated too, but so she'll come over sometimes because she's not doing anything and or not going out. And she came over and she was like, your laundry is everywhere. Your dishes are everywhere. Like you're a mess. And I was like, yeah, no one's here to check that and no one's gonna check that. So, but she's right. Like it highlights the loneliness. So I was like, okay, just do 10 dishes at a time. Okay, just do 10 pieces of laundry at a time. And like, I think taking care of yourself still is important. I'm going to do my makeup after this. Why? No reason.
I think that if you're in a position to foster an animal,
mm-hmm.
that can be huge. Like if you're not living with roommates or family or significant other, yes, they're not human, but I think like touching them and petting them and snuggling them kind of has a lot of the same effects as like physical touch with a human.
Get a gerbil.
Like honestly, like I think bringing any sort of life into your home could be super beneficial. And also they need you just as much as you need them.
If I didn't have Beans, I would be losing it. I would be out of my mind if I didn't have him.
I can't imagine going through this without a pet. So that's my big recommendation to battle loneliness, both in a pandemic and out of a pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also he has to go outside. So it gives me like mm-hmm. I have to take him out and I have to like make sure that he's in the sunshine. So then I have to be in the sunshine, which is helpful for like helps my mood and stuff. So also like playing games, like playing Jackbox games with friends on over the computer. I've mm-hmm. never been more of a gamer in my life. I downloaded Steam. I downloaded Origin. These are like ways that you can game on your computer. I have never been interested in video games more than I am now.
But I also think that good content can battle loneliness in a lot of ways. Like mm-hmm. if you're reading a really good book, like you get immersed in that book. You're one of those characters. You're living in that world. Like you mm-hmm. don't necessarily feel like, oh, I'm alone in my apartment in the same way.
But you know, I saw you're a Gemini and I'm a Gemini. And I saw a meme that was like different signs and who they're quarantine married to. And it was like quarantine married to. And it said Gemini, the fictional character of whatever book or TV show they're watching or reading. And then you just said that. And I was like, oh, my God, it's so true.
But I think I love like whenever I lose track of where I am, mm-hmm. like if I can watch something or read something or listen to something and it like takes me out of my present moment, that's like a vacation.
I know probably maybe people do this with us, but like there's a podcast I listen to called You're Wrong About. And I like fully in my mind, I'm like, I'm friends with Mike and Sarah. Like my brain, like I'm like, they'll like talk on the show and I'll be like, great point, Mike. Like it's deranged.
And honestly, if you do that with us, we are your friends.
Yeah.
We
love it. What's up?
Hang up, dude. Out. Whoever you are, you're a part of this.
Love ya.
Love ya. No, but I think that loneliness is always really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But like literally living alone is going to just exacerbate that. So instead of like giving into those feelings, I think it's sort of important to do what you can to combat them, whether it be getting that pet or calling people more, playing those Zoom games or reading your favorite book. And just remember that now you really appreciate other people.
Yeah.
And don't let go of that appreciation when this is over.
I'm like FaceTiming my parents. Like, what are you guys up to? And then they say something insane. And I'm like, cool. But know what? I'm glad. I'm like, yeah, tell me some crazy stuff. Love to hear it.
My dad has signed up for a stand-up class online.
Oh, no.
Doing over Zoom. And so for the last 3 days, he's done his set for me and I give him notes and it's my favorite part of the day.
Wow. Is he any good?
Yeah, he's great.
Hey.
Yeah. It's super fun. Like I never thought that my dad would just like be performing stand up to me over Zoom. But it's perfect. Actually, it's FaceTime. I don't want to lie.
Wow. That's really amazing. Yeah, I'm just like, you know, my mom's got an Android, so they two of them need to FaceTime me from my dad's phone. So they're just like on the couch, like, what are you up to? And I'm like, I don't know, what are you guys up to? And they're like, truly nothing. You know, and it's, I always like to ask them questions because inevitably it will be nuts. Did you see the thing I posted? I asked my mom, what names would you have named me if you didn't do Gabrielle? And she sent me like her actual 1987 list of names that she would have named me.
Oh,
and
wow.
Did you see my post about this?
No.
Allison, one of the names was Houston. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she was like, oh, yeah. I just like thought it was cute, right? And I'm like, see, if I hadn't just quarantinely been like, let me ask you a question and see what you say, I would have never seen this piece of paper. Where not only that, but one of the other name choices was Juliana, spelled J-U-L-I-E-A-N-A. What?
Sounds good to me.
So I think, you know, hop on Zoom with your parents and just ask them some questions. And because you're going to have all the time in the world to get answers that you're like, yes, this is nuts.
And if you don't have parents or aren't able to do that, hop on with a random person you met 10 years ago and wanted to know more about.
Or just do 20 questions with your friends. You can always get to know your friends better.
That's very true.
What would you do if I was named Houston?
Probably nothing different. I don't know.
Would I go by Houston? I have so many questions.
Tamika, come on in and share your thoughts.
Hello.
Hey. Hello. You moved here from Houston, right?
Yep, I did. And you know, I don't think it's a bad name. I've never met someone with the first name Houston, but it's not bad.
Could be worse.
What do you, live alone, right?
Yeah. So since the quarantine, I think in the beginning I was binging TV a lot more. I was watching movies, very fun, but it felt like the days were kind of blurring together.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've been really into just long conversations and like going on walks, reading more books. And I guess I needed to feel more present to like feel less alone in some sort of weird way.
But it's been working?
Yeah. I mean, you can only do so much when you live alone. You have to be lonely sometimes, but it's definitely better than it was.
I think everyone is lonely sometimes. I think you can be lonely in a room full of people. It's just about the percentage.
Yeah.
What did we think of the episode overall?
I mean, I thought she was so smart and this was so cool. I love whenever we have like scientists or people who work in research, because I feel like there's so much more to these things that we view as like everyday. Oh, this is just stress. This is like a very ubiquitous thing. And then we see that there's like so much more to it and so much that we can learn about the brain and learn about the way that like trauma affects people. And I just think it's so relevant right now because I feel like there's going to be so much of that to study after this is all over. I'm very interested in any studies that come out of the pandemic, like in terms of what it does to people's stress levels permanently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I loved learning that you can recalibrate your body to not overreact to stress, even if that's what your body initially does. That was like so wonderful to hear.
Mm-hmm. I love Dr. Sinha during hypotheticals. It was great. I was laughing so hard.
It was pretty great.
It's always like the most serious interviews become the zaniest hypotheticals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do we rate the episode overall?
I give it 7 out of 7. No ghosting. Stop ghosting.
Ooh, very good.
But in this situation, stop ghosting. I don't want to judge all ghosts, but I think in this situation, stop ghosting.
What do you mean you don't want to judge all ghosts?
Like, sometimes people need to ghost, and I don't want to say in what situations. And also, I don't want to judge any ghosts that are haunting my apartment. I don't want to judge any.
Is that what you meant?
Yep.
I will rate it 4 out of 3 stress centers.
Ooh, the stress center and the stress center, which is the brain.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Think about it. Stress center and then stress center. The stress center studies your stress center. I'm a genius.
You really are.
I rate it 5 out of 5 Zoom conversations with your parents.
Yeah. It's mostly FaceTime, to be honest. But yeah.
My dad did organize a Zoom for our family with Jocelyn and Joe.
Aww. And the kiddos?
Everyone other than me and Jake was on their own device.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Gus be in the same room with each other.
Nope.
Wow.
My parents only went in the same room because my mom's computer wasn't working.
Well, you know how now we see how quarantine is affecting these relationships.
Everyone, take it day by day. Thank you so much to Dr. Sinha for being our guest. Just Between Us is hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabby Dunn.
Our engineer is Brendan Burns. He also composed our killer theme music.
Our producer is Tamika Weatherspoon. Our executive producers are Chris Bannon and Josephine Martirana.
Just Between Us is a production of Stitcher. Stay just the tiniest bit stressed, but not more than that.
Yeah, just what you need to stay safe.
Yeah, just a tiny, tiny bit of stress.
Stitcher.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.